You're listening to the Amateur Tarot Pod. Originally recorded starting at the end of 2016, there's a lot of growth to be found in the production quality and in the confidence and skill sets of your hosts. Please note that any phone numbers, emails, or social accounts are no longer active. You can contact the creators of the show by reaching out to brian@zenironman.com.
Welcome to the Amateur Tarot Pod. On this podcast, we two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
That was Ben.
And that was Kevin. And we're here to solve life's greatest mysteries. One tarot question at a time.
One tarot question at a time.
And that's what we're here to do. Now, we've never done this before. Well, there's actually a couple of things we've never done before. The first thing that we've never done before is a segment I'm calling Corrections, where Maggie finds out things that we did wrong, and then I correct them because they're corrected in my favor. So last week, we talked about guilds, and I said, guilds were kind of like unions, and you said, I don't think so. And then this was for Maggie in the Facebook group. According to the Ancient History Encyclopedia, guilds were basically the precursors to modern-day unions. It said, the name guild derives from the Saxon word Gilden, meaning to pay or yield, as members of the guild were expected to contribute to the collective finances.
Yeah, that's exactly what a union is.
And there we go. So
yeah,
we solved that. One Ben, Kevin, none.
Yeah, egg on my face. That's what I have to say about that. You know.
Yeah. So thanks to Maggie for ensuring that I looked good last week. And now the second new thing that we've never done before is that Maggie also discovered that Kevin was on episode 101, then as a querent, not a host. On that episode, Kevin, you asked, I'm embarking on a journey to become a teacher. Am I making the right decision, or am I on the right track? This was, I went back and re-listened to the episode, and it was a particularly unsatisfying reading.
Yeah, it wasn't good for me. I was very excited to finally be on the podcast. We had talked about last week how I listened and built up to this point of, you know, being on the podcast. You guys kind of made fun of the profession a little bit. You know, you said I was gonna be a shop teacher.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then the reading was definitely, I guess, subpar.
We ended up drawing four cards.
That's how bad the reading was. You guys had to draw one more card.
And in that amateur tarot first, we're gonna flash back to the conclusion of that reading. I think that the unsatisfying answer perhaps is that Kevin is on this path and he's unsure of where this path is leading, and we keep getting these swords and these blindfolds, which would imply that like the answer is somewhat unknowable at this point as to whether or not Kevin is on the right track. And in the world of magic and mystical woo-woo, I am even more convinced than the fact that we turned over another card and we got another sword and another blindfold, that we just don't have a satisfying answer to supply, and that the answer to Kevin's question of is he on the right track is like, shrug guy, and we just have to be patient, and that answer will become clear as we go forward in time.
So, sorry, Kevin.
We're back.
So that was the
end of this draw. And I think that we should probably explain, and I can't remember in the clip, do we say that there's been, that was the third sword card in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the four of coins, the two of swords, the eight of swords, and the four of swords.
It's a lot of swords.
And remind me, swords are like, they're the mind.
Yes, exactly. Suit.
So it's basically the cards were just telling me in so many words, like, think about this, stupid.
Have a plan.
Have a plan. I did have a plan.
Okay.
So I did. But that plan kind of went awry.
Oh, yeah?
When my main way of paying for that plan decided they no longer wanted to work where I was going to get my degree.
Oh.
Yeah. So, which kind of goes back to the Four of Coins, where it's like you should have prepared earlier for this and like saved your money up, kind of.
Okay, so the plan has been derailed.
Yeah, the plan's been derailed. Well, I mean, in a good way, though.
Okay.
Because now I'm hosting the show and making loads and loads of money.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. So yeah. Really, because if you were pursuing your dream to become a shop teacher, you probably would not be making as much money as you are as a host of the Amateur Tarot Pod.
Well, it's funny, you guys kind of teased about, you know, teaching, making a lot of money, and that's why you would get into it for financial gain. There was a little bit of that in there. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't done any research on that, and I looked it up, and it turns out teachers don't actually make that much money. So.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, if you'd become a shop teacher, you could have made wooden trinkets that you could have sold.
That's true.
A secondary income source.
On Etsy, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody in one of my improv classes told us that he made over $40,000, I think, selling stuff on Etsy. And he had to quit because he just didn't have time to keep up with it. And it became just, like, tiresome.
What was his primary job that was, like, what was he supplementing with $40,000? I feel like I know my personal, like, that would be, at that point, I would probably quit my job. Because it's like, okay, I can definitely live off $40,000 a year.
I don't remember what he said his everyday first primary job was, but he said he was taking days off to like make his craft on Etsy and sell it. But I guess he ultimately shut it down and decided he didn't want to make like these bookmarks that he was making that were selling like hotcakes.
Bookmarks?
Bookmarks.
Like they just were, out of like paper?
No, it was like they were like fancy bookmarks.
Okay. So it like required actual skill.
Craft, yeah. Okay. That was my understanding.
Yeah. Because if he was just like laminating piece of...
No,
like,
it wasn't that.
Writing witty things on there, I could do that.
I mean, there's nothing that says you can't do that today.
I should start doing that. Oh, we're filling in the TBD. You can find Kevin. Hey.
At Wash This Face on Etsy. Buy his laminated bookmarks.
But they're going to be face cloths.
Oh, that's good. That's really good with the brand.
TM.
All right, so we've solved that. Kevin, I was about to ask if you're ready to solve someone else's problem, but we actually haven't even set up how we normally do that. And the way that we normally solve someone's problem is like this. We draw three tarot cards, and then in the order that we draw them, they represent the recent past, the current actions, and the future 100% money-back spiritual gold guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
Still impressive, by the way. It's been a couple weeks since we've done that. Looks good.
Thank you.
So after we do that, we're going to go to the card of the week.
And then after that, we're going to do an outro. And then after that, we're going to turn off the recording.
And that'll be it.
And that'll be the end of this episode. You'll move on to the next podcast in your feed. I should also note, if you hear any snoring, it's not me or Kevin. It's my dog.
I will also say that I have worked a full day and I'm here. And if the reading ends up being boring, it might also be me because I do snore.
Well, good to know.
Yep.
I appreciate the honesty up top.
You're welcome. Do you want to jump into Queerance Corner?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Let's do it. All right. So our question this week comes from Bronwyn. And Bronwyn asks, will I ever find career fulfillment? And if so, where?
Okay, I feel like this ties in right with the intro.
Yeah.
Finding career fulfillment.
Yeah. So me and Bronwyn are on the same path.
Yeah. Maybe so, this is like kind of a dual reading.
Yeah, because
you're getting a second chance at love here.
I have to, you know, it has to be about me in some way.
Yeah.
So, but no, this is all
Bronwyn about, just another name for Kevin?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it is. No, it's not. This is about Bronwyn. We're not going to make it about me this time.
Okay. So this is about Bronwyn. Do we have any pre-advice on finding career fulfillment?
I would like to hear your pre-advice because I am closer to the queerant than you are.
Okay. It's tough because I feel fulfilled at the moment with my career, which is mostly just being paid to be a student, which is, I suppose, a good career if you can get it. And also that's what you want. So I'm very happy with that. I was not as fulfilled in my old career, which is why I left.
Right.
And so it's tough because like there's the advice of do what you love. Sometimes that works out. And I feel like sometimes it's harder because like when you turn something that you like into a job, it stops being fun. Like, I used to play a lot of Magic the Gathering, and there were people who, like, that was their job, was, like, going to these tournaments and winning, and they always would talk about how it like, sucked, because it was their job, and they, like, had to play Magic the Gathering.
We're talking about all these cool jobs and people that, like, are hating on these cool jobs this episode. So, yeah.
So, I feel like it's sometimes a delicate balance, because even if you think that you're going to like A, if you get a job doing A, it might start to suck, because now it's something that you have to do. One alternate theory of the case that Julia has talked about before, not on this podcast, just in our real life, is that, like, maybe career fulfillment is sort of unnecessary. You just kind of have to think about your job as this thing that you do and this thing that you go to, and then that enables you to do the things that you do like to do. It gives you the money and the security and the stability to go out and go play Magic the Gathering or whatever. And so rather than, like, worrying about how to try to find career fulfillment, you just figure out a job that you can tolerate that challenges you enough that you're, like, satisfied with it, but also don't rely on it for all your happiness.
I like that. And the person who speaks last speaks right. I'm not going to offer any more pre-advice, because I think that was very good.
Thank you.
But I also want to note that I think that Bronwyn will be successful no matter what she does.
Let's find out what the cards have to say.
That was a good shuffle.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
Yeah.
For 2.5 years of this show.
Just for me.
Just for this moment.
Yes.
I didn't know it, but it's been building to this.
Have you ever been complimented on your shuffling before?
I have not.
Wow.
No one's ever really... I mean, I've read at, like, weddings and things like that, and nobody's ever complimented me on my shuffling.
That's a bummer.
Maybe one day.
Well, I just did.
Well, okay.
Today is that day.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like you're not a stranger, so I was sort of discounting it.
Oh, okay.
But maybe I shouldn't discount it.
I would appreciate it if you did not discount my compliments.
All right. Your compliment is real, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Let's ask the question one more time.
All right.
So Bronwyn asks, will I ever find career fulfillment? And if so, where?
Flip. Oh, now you've seen this one before. It's the Five of Wands. I should have not said that. I should have seen if you could get it.
It is the Five of Wands. And I remember, like, so it's a group of people that have these wands or these. Okay, here's a question that I have. Why are these called wands? Because when I think of a wand, I think of, like, a wizard.
Yeah.
And these are, like, poles.
Yeah.
That you would, like, build a house with. Do we know in tarot times?
What, well, they're also in some decks, they're called rods, which
makes I like sense. Rods better.
Okay.
We'll call them wands, but rods is a better example. Anyway, I digressed. There's five gentlemen holding these wands, or rods, if you prefer. And it looks like they're trying to build something. But it doesn't seem like there is a leader to build them. And I think that's pretty much the basic gist of what I put down last time.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Five of Wands.
Okay. So the Five of Wands is about some sort of struggle or battle that's going on. Sometimes external, sometimes internal. I think that question that we need to think about now is, what sort of battle is Bronwyn facing? Is this a battle of, like, an internal battle of a lot of potential directions that she could be going with her career? Or is it external, like she's fighting with other people at her job and is finding it frustrating because she's just, like, at loggerheads with people around her all the time?
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess it could be both, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, or even just by asking this question, will I ever find career fulfillment? Maybe there's a lot of different forces, whether she wants to follow a passion project or, you know, stick on, like, a path of, I don't know, a job that she maybe doesn't love or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's struggling internally with that. I like both of those explanations for that. And it's a good past card.
Let's keep them in play.
Yeah.
Here comes the present. Flip. The Queen of Pentacles.
All right. I have not seen this card before. So it is a woman surrounded by roses, sitting on a throne, holding a pentacle. She's wearing a red dress. She's got a crown on. There's mountains in the background, which mountains are usually significant. The crown has, like, a, what's it called? A veil mm-hmm. on it going behind her. And it kind of looks like a snake towards the bottom. Would you agree?
Yeah, it kind of does.
I don't know if that has any relevance.
Not as far as I know, but that doesn't mean anything. I should say that you walked in today with a book about tarot.
I did. Do you want me to pull that out?
I mean, you can go for it. So I thought maybe you would be the one who was knowledgeable about the arcane symbolism.
I did buy this book. I don't know if it's one that you have.
I don't have that.
You don't have it, but have you reviewed it?
No, I don't know anything about that book.
It's called Pocket Guide to the Tarot by Alan Oaken.
Okay.
And I bought it because it has the cards that we use on there, which is it is the Rider-Waite tarot deck.
Yes.
Boom. I was pretty proud of myself. You did not seem as proud of me for it.
I'm very happy.
Thank you.
I'm very proud. Don't discount this.
Don't discount this. So let me find the Queen of Pentacles. Security.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to say there's an in the reading part. It's a pretty nice book. I'm going to give it to you in a second so you can look at it.
Okay. I will say that it says it's a pocket guide, but you would need very big pockets.
It could probably fit in my back pocket.
Okay.
I'm wearing jeans.
Yeah.
So there may be a wise and loving woman in this person's life. She is here to be helpful and may offer you some significant practical assistance in the form of financial aid and or astute advice. She expresses strong maternal feelings towards you, and you can gain a great deal from her nurturance. She is wise and cultured. You would do well to accept the offer of friendship at this time.
All right.
Is that how you understand the Queen of Pentacles?
I think that's one way that I understand the Queen of Pentacles.
Okay. What is your take on it?
It's sort of similar to how we were talking about the Five of Wands. The Queen of Pentacles and really all the court cards can represent another person in your life, or they can be you. And sometimes that's what makes them hard to read, is because you're unsure of is this about the person asking the question or is this about somebody else? But the sort of interpretation is how I would think about it, of this person is a provider. It's the coin suit. So it's about the material world and financial resources. So it's either, as the book is describing, someone who's providing and giving that sort of maternal energy to Bronwyn, or it's Bronwyn herself who has to become this person.
I like that.
I feel like you read the book. It was about someone else that's not Bronwyn. And so maybe we should think about it in that sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wonder if there's a group of women or a specific woman that stands out in Bronwyn's head, mm-hmm. that she's like, you know what? That person did offer me great advice. I should listen to her and I should lean on that person for support. I think when I read it from the book, that's how I'm reading this.
Yeah. That's how I'm hearing it too. Of I think the book also mentioned financial assistance. So is this a parent or a friend or somebody who's willing to help Bronwyn out in this time when she's trying to figure, when she's in this Five of Swords, trying to figure stuff out, or Five of Wands.
Yeah. And I think as it relates to this question, I don't necessarily want to pull to financial stuff, mm-hmm. because it's more of you're in this struggle. There's somebody strong that's going to help you through this. Mm-hmm. Or even if you can look inside yourself and that's who it is.
Yeah.
Too. The answer's in you.
Okay.
So to speak. But again, I think this is all, it's kind of like the reading that we played earlier, where it's all build up to this last card, because it's yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Right.
So we've built up to this question perfectly.
You don't listen to a lot of episodes of the podcast, but that's kind of how every podcast goes. You know, we're all just waiting on that last card.
It really is just a lot of it comes down to this future card.
And here it comes.
Flip.
Another queen, the Queen of Wands.
So it is.
Are you looking this one up too?
I will look this one up. I just wonder, I can never remember.
It's good because the court cards are the hardest ones to read. So the fact that you look at the book makes my life easier.
Okay, so let's talk about this card. It's, again, a queen. So it's a woman sitting on a throne. Now, the Queen of Pentacles is looking down at her coins and kind of seems content. Whereas the Queen of Wands, shoulders are back, head is high. She's looking out on the future. She's ready for something. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's in charge. She looks like she knows what's going on. In her right hand, she has that wand. And then in the left hand, she has a sunflower. Mm-hmm. There's also a black cat by her feet. which is definitely going to mean something at some point, I'm sure. So, yeah, let's see how the Black Cat comes into play.
I'd love to know.
Okay, so the Queen of Wands, the primary principle is inspiration. And in the reading, it says there is a dignified, intelligent, and most likely prosperous woman in the querent's life. Okay, again, it's saying in the querent's life, but I feel like we can just say this is the querent at this point.
Yeah.
Like, this is Bronwyn.
I agree.
I almost don't want to read the rest of it because that's awesome, but I'm going to. She can be a friend, relative, or lover. She offers her help so that the person or people involved in the current situation may develop a deeper understanding of their aims and ambitions. Yeah, I should have stopped reading.
I mean, we just go back, you know?
Yeah, we're going to go back.
30 seconds, skip backwards.
Yeah. Because I think that first sentence says it all.
Read it again.
There is a dignified, intelligent, and most likely prosperous woman in the querent's life.
Mm-hmm. But we said that was the querent.
I think that's the querent.
Yeah. So here's where I'm coming at this reading now that I'm looking at all three cards. So the Queen of Wands, like the Queen of Pentacles, is this sort of like provider figure. And the Queen of Wands is different from the Queen of Pentacles in that wands are, again, about like passion and inspiration and things that are exciting to you. And so looking at these cards, and if we're saying these queens are Bronwyn, then the Queen of Pentacles is all about like stability and structure and finances and like concerns about the material world, like the reasons that you go to a job in the first place. Whereas the Queen of Wands is all about passion. And so I wonder if the advice here is like, right now you're really focusing on like money and like making sure the job is going to provide stability and is going to like help you feel, you know, you're like, you're taking the job because the job is providing for you. Whereas the way to find fulfillment is to move on from that mindset and approach a job with a more like passion focused mindset, even if it may not pay as much or provide as much like prestige or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a pretty like tied up bow on it though. And I just think at least I like the Queen of Wands in the future because it with that woman with her shoulders back, her head up, she's confident. She's looking out in the future. She's in a good spot. Reading it that way and kind of like, yeah, this is a confident person.
Yeah.
I think that's the best card that you could, like, I mean, there might
be energy out there.
I don't know all the cards, but there might be a better card, but that's a pretty darn good card to have as the future card. So I really like that.
All right. Did we ever figure out what the Black Cat was about? Did it say it in the book?
Oh, you know what? I was going to read more, but I was listening.
I know
to
you stopped.
Well, now that I'm reading this, it's like, so she is a person who has earned the financial and social position she occupies. And she offers it her love. It is true and faithful. If the card is not representative of the person in the querent's life, then it reveals a situation in which investment and enterprise are supported. It does not talk about the cat, which is kind of a bummer because when I read the major arcana cards, it talks about all the symbolism in it, which I really liked about this book. But it kind of
phoned it in on the back half.
I think so, because I think it basically says swords are about, you know, the mind and the Ace of Swords is about, I don't know what the ace is about, but it's usually the beginning, right?
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, we're going to like cookie cutter this in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Which is kind of a bummer because I want to know what that Black Cat's all about.
Well, I'm sure somebody will tell us in the Facebook group.
Probably.
We can do corrections next week.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bronwyn.
Thanks, Bronwyn.
Well, we've done it.
We're out of there.
And now we're moving into card of the week.
All right. Now we're at the card of the week.
Yes.
Shuffle time. Another good shuffle.
Thank you. Now this one I may have to, last time I just did one shuffle because I had pre-shuffled, but this time I'm going to have to do a couple.
It's okay. It'll drown out the snores. The snores of our lols. The snores of our enemies.
You didn't fall asleep during the reading.
I did not.
The snores of our enemies, I like them. All right. So tell them about card of the week, Kevin.
Yeah. So the card of the week is a card that we draw for everyone that is listening, for their neighbors, for their friends, and Lycan.
Yes.
Yeah, again, this is the part of the podcast where you unplug your headphones and you turn on your Bluetooth speaker so everybody can hear the card of the week so they know what their week is going to be like. But again, obeying all the laws.
Obeying all local laws and being respectful to people around you.
Correct.
Are you going to read out of the book this week? Out of that book?
I kind of want to.
Yeah, I think
you
should.
Do you want to look at the book real quick and just approve it?
Sure.
Okay.
Normally that's Brian's role is...
Yeah, well, you know what? You're filling in Brian's shoes so well.
Oh, it's tough. I thank you for that compliment that I did not discount. Okay, wow. This has got a lot of stuff in it. I mean, the major arcanas do. The minor arcanas, still pretty meaty. I mean, much longer than the other book we were going to read from that's got like a paragraph, not even a paragraph.
Yeah, there's definitely... I mean, if the card of the week is going to be a major arcana, we'll have a lot to go on.
Okay, well... Let's find out what it is. Flip. Another court card, this time the King of Pentacles.
I'll be honest, this dude looks like he is about to go to like a rave or something. Like he's wearing a jumpsuit that's like grapes. Yeah, it's a busy card. I don't really like busy cards.
Okay.
Personally. So there's just a lot going on in this card. He's obviously holding a pentacle and what looks to be a lollipop. Judging by his outfit, it's probably one of those funny lollipops that they're selling out in Colorado now.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. Because his eyes are also closed. Not that I know that that's something that might happen if you enjoy those.
I mean, you said it. So that's the lore now, is that the King of Pentacles is into that kind of thing.
He's into that kind of thing. The King of Pentacles' primary principle, according to this book, and again, it is The Pocket Guide to the Tarot by Alan Okin. Okin?
Sure.
Alan Okin.
Alan Okin, I like that.
The primary principle is influence.
Okay, I get it.
And the meaning... This card represents a person comfortable with the power, influence, and status he has achieved. The bullheads around his throne symbolize the astrological sign of Taurus, indicating money and wealth. Yet he uses an image of a bull for a footrest. This gesture indicates that he has mastery over his possessions and not the other way around. Thus, we have a truly wise man, a person who has learned how to dominate the urge for material accumulation. He's comfortable with himself. This person who can be of great help for, he recognizes talents and abilities in others and is willing to sponsor other people's efforts at success. He's an enlightened man, one who can use his power for the benefit of others as well as for his own benefit.
I mean, you said a lot of good stuff in there, but what I heard was that he sponsors others. So I feel like the advice this week is that you should sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. You should definitely sponsor the podcast.
So that's one aspect of the card of the week. Other aspects of the card of the week sound like it's a pretty good week.
Yeah.
This week, you're going to feel confident, comfortable in your own skin. You're not going to be wanting for anything.
Yeah, and you're not really worried about the possessions.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good outlook for the week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be you.
Just be you. Be comfortable with who you are and what you got. That's the card of the week.
That's the card of the week.
Well, Kevin, we're approaching the station now. We're clear for landing. I guess on a train, you don't really have a tray table, and you... don't have to put your seat back up. All I was trying to say was that, like, we're putting our laptops away, we're getting our books, we're collecting our trash, we're getting ready to get off the train.
Yep.
And to begin that process, thank you again to Bronwyn for asking us a question this week.
Thanks, Bronwyn. It was a great question, and I hope that the answer suffices.
If nothing else, it was better advice than we gave you on episode 101.
That's correct. Bronwyn also reads tarot, so she might go look and, like, have a different meaning of her. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. But I think we did a good job.
I'm glad you told me that at the end and not in the middle.
There was definite intentions.
Thanks for saving that.
You're welcome.
Do you think that maybe that's why Brian ultimately left the podcast, is he has been thinking about episode 101 for a really long time and is just disappointed in himself?
Yes. I thought we weren't going to tell the Lyles that, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now we've told them that, so they know. And thank you to those Lyles for being with us this week and every week. And now a moment of silence for those, for the snores of our enemies.
So you can find us online at amateurtarot.com. I think we got a lot of good content on there. You can go back and look at the spread from episode 101 if you want to.
Yeah, it. At some point, the spreads stopped being on the episodes. For sure, you can listen to every episode there. You can find the episode page for episodes before, like episode 110. There are pictures of the spreads in the cards. And also on the homepage, you can ask us your question so that we can keep making the show and keep solving life's greatest problems.
You can also ask us questions by calling or texting, right? You can text this
number. You can text the number.
It's 314-325-6047.
And if you call now, we will give you a 30-minute bonus podcast that includes the snores of our enemies. We have a Facebook group. That's where corrections have been posted. People have been put on blast. And other memes and GIFs are there as well at Facebook.com/group/amateurtarot.
You still cannot find me online. I mean, I'm in the Facebook group, which is a lot of good fun. Mm-hmm. Hope to be interactive there. But I think, so first of all, wash this face is taken. I know. I'm so bummed about it.
I feel like over the last 2 weeks, we've given some random person a lot of traffic.
Yeah. But just like clicks.
Yeah.
I don't think they're from America. I didn't click on their profile. Okay. So be careful. Use your own caution and judgment if you're going to watch this face.
It's not Kevin.
It's not me. I promise.
At least not the one you know and love.
But apparently I think I'm going to be starting an Etsy shop.
Yeah. That's something.
TBD.
So I have a website. I'm making all this up.com. Although really that should be TBD too, because I have a new project in the works.
Whoa. Ben just teased a new project.
TBD.
I'm excited to hear about it. Make sure that you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't cost anything, and it really does help us out a lot.
And we would appreciate it. Now, we've arrived at item number 9. Thank you to.
Thank you to the United States women's national team.
Yeah.
For winning the World Cup.
Enough said.
Yeah.
And with that,
spoiler alert,
magic is real.
When was the last time that you were on a train?
Like 2015, maybe.
Okay.
So 4 years, it was a while ago. It was an Amtrak from Seattle to Portland.
Oh, that's cool.
We got a table seat, which is what you want to get.
Yeah.
Because then you can like put your computer on it.
Yeah. The last time I was on one was like last summer.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the poor people section and we had a tray table.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It was from Chicago to Milwaukee. So I had a wedding in Milwaukee that I had to go to, and my family lives in Chicago.
Okay.
So I flew into Chicago, took the train up to Milwaukee, and then took it back and like visited, you know, anyway.
It's all right. You know, you don't have to like take your shoes off. There's a lot less fuss. There's more room to move around. It's nice.
I mean, I basically didn't think I had to, like, I just got on the train.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody even came to check my ticket. Yeah. Like, what's up, man? Like... Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here.
Yeah, we're getting way deep on trains, but